So time to prepare yourself for game week 21. You have to have your team in by Saturday morning at 11:30. As we're talking fantasy football, though, we'll get to Joe on from fantasyfootballscout.co.uk. Joe, welcome.
Hello there.
So then, as we go into this time, we're going to continue our look at one club per episode, and we've reached Leicester City. Now, Leicester, of course, we all know what they did last time around. It was incredible in the Premier League, their feats of last season. They had guaranteed point scorers at times, the obvious names like Jamie Vardy and Riyad Mahrez. Even those who went slightly under the radar in earlier parts of the season, Christian Fuchs. But what about at the moment, Joe? What about Leicester? Any players we should have, or maybe those who should be avoided?
Well, I mean, that was then and this is now. Leicester, obviously, not done as well as last season. In fact, they've done terribly. But for them, this season, it's really all been about home and away. Away, they've been absolutely appalling. But home, they've been actually quite good. So that means they're a pretty inconsistent side to invest in looking for fantasy assets. So just to give you a few stats here, away, they've conceded 21 goals. And only Swansea, Palace and Hull are all fighting in a relegation scrap, have a worse record than that. And they also have only just one clean sheet on the road. But at home, completely different. They've conceded just 10 times and they've kept 4 clean sheets. And that's actually the 7th best. So they're amongst the best at home, terrible away. So in terms of players, who should you be looking for? Well, before I just mention players, I just want to mention fixtures because they're not great this month. They've got Chelsea at home, not a great home tie. And then we've already spoken about their away form. They've got Southampton away, Burnley away, so that's not great. And then Manchester United at home, so they're nice, home, easy home game, actually really tough. And then they got Swansea away. They might get something out of that because Swansea are actually worse than Leicester at the moment. But so in terms of players, right, now, the problem is there's the African Cup of Nations. Pretty much two of their best players, Slimani and Mahrez, are gone. So they're representing their countries, so they're not around for January. So we haven't got those to choose from. We do have Jamie Vardy. He's back from a suspension. And there's Ujoa as well. But both of those have got a little flag on them at the moment. It means they're a bit ill. So I suspect they'll probably be all right. It's probably just a bit of Christmas sniffles still going on there. But long term, if you think Leicester are going to improve and you want to perhaps a player to get into rotate, so only play them when they're at home, Mahrez still has something to offer and so does Slimani. But Vardy and Ujoa are your short-term bets here. But looking at those fixtures, to be honest, I'd look elsewhere.
Now, of course, this weekend we're also seeing the battle between Manchester and Merseyside as Sky are desperate for us to know about on their Super Sunday. What about, though, the game, particularly the Man United versus Liverpool one? I mean, you look at Liverpool and you think, well, in recent weeks they've had some great players, well, you know, good point scorers. There's Coutinho coming back on the United side. I mean, there's points there. Or rather, would you maybe say avoid players from that fixture, or how do you see it?
I think this looks like quite a tight game, actually. There's two things are going on here. Now, Liverpool usually are great away from home. They've scored 22 goals on the road, and only Arsenal scored more on their travels. So, but given that Sadio Mane has gone to African Cup of Nations duties, that tournament again, I think they've been struggling, and we've seen in the Cup as well. Yes, they put the youngsters out against Plymouth in the FA Cup, but still didn't score. And they have got problems as well in the League Cup as well, didn't score again. So their attacking threat has been really cut down with Mane going. Mane, what he did is he drew defenders out because he was a very fast, tricky player to deal with. That opened up spaces. Without him, those spaces just simply haven't opened up. The other reason I think this could be quite a tight encounter is because of Manchester United's home form. That is actually very, very good indeed. They're doing ever so well there. It's a derby game, but they're not conceding at all. They've conceded just 8 times, and they've got 3 clean sheets at home. So only City, Chelsea and Liverpool have a better record than them at home. And also those three sides there, they're the only ones who conceded fewer shots in the box at home than Manchester United. In short, they're pretty tight defensively at home. And if Liverpool aren't scoring, that says to me 0-0 or perhaps a 1-0, 2-0 victory to Manchester United. That would be an outside bet there.
And when it comes to the transfer window, I mean, it's maybe not been the busiest so far, Joe, but we all know that excitement of a player that you might like moves to a team and you think, oh, well, I must get them in my fantasy team. Is that kind of tactic good or bad thinking at this time of year?
Yeah, I mean, you can, because we in previous seasons we've had someone like, say, for example, Papis Cisse join Newcastle, went on an absolutely fantastic run. And really helped them out there. And you do get other players as well. Now, Newcastle as well, they brought in Townsend, and he did really well. It didn't stop them getting relegated, but he did really well. He was a good fantasy asset as well. So far, it's not been that much, really. Players that have come in, I haven't been that impressed by. I think they're more likely to be squad players. Gestet at Middlesbrough is a prime example there. Gabriel Jesus, who's just come in Manchester City, he's actually already been a Man City player. He's just kind of been loaned back to his original club, and he's now available for Man City. He's one to watch, just given Man City's rotation that goes on. He could actually get some games. But, you know, for now, I'd monitor as well. And other players worth monitoring are players that actually might be moving on and how that might affect the team. And this week we've had the discovery that Payet at West Ham no longer wants to play for them. Slaven Bilic has said that he's no longer going to be training with the team. They don't want to sell him. They're saying he's not going to go anywhere, but he's not going to be playing. So if you've got Payet in your team this weekend, get him out, because he's not going to be starting. He's not even going to be anywhere near the first team. And chances are he's probably going to going to leave as well. A player of that calibre, if he's not going to play at all, they might as well cash in now. So watch out for those types of things, really. Now, how does that affect West Ham? Well, it means that their chief creator of goal-scoring opportunities will vanish. So will they get goals? So what does that mean for Antonio or Carroll, these types of players? These are the kinds of issues that we need to be looking at this time as well, especially because we now have a wild card as well. So there's a second wild card in the Fantasy Premier League game that's now available. So we really need to be keeping an eye on some of these new players and trying to work out how the team dynamics will change.
With the wild cards, I mean, you know, everybody has their own way of utilising them, and we've covered in the past how each of the wild card works. But I mean, what's the general consensus amongst the fantasy football scout community? I mean, are people thinking now might be the time, and there might be time just to reassess all round?
Well, I think, I mean, the consensus is still keep hold of it for the double game weeks. When they come around, when we get postponements, perhaps due to snow, but definitely due to cup commitments, we want to reshape our sides around then so that we can access these players that are playing twice in a game week. So that's the consensus. But I can see the attraction of if you're down in the dumps in your leagues, in your office leagues and things, and you want to get a quick boost now, I can see the attraction of overhauling your side. And the consensus for those that are thinking of doing that is that the best formation to think about is 3-5-2, is really max out on midfielders. And one of the key reasons, it's quite simple really, midfielders have got loads of different ways of scoring points. They get points for clean sheets, they get points for assists and goals, and they get more points for goals than forwards do. So they've got loads and loads of different ways of scoring. And I had a look at this, so I had a look in terms of teams and who their most important player is. And in 12 out of the 20 Premier League sides, it's a midfielder that's their highest point score. So you're looking at the likes of Sanchez, and you're looking at the likes of Ali and Eriksen. And you're looking at Firmino at Liverpool. These are the types of players that are being fielded in much more forward attacking role, and they're consequently really, really helping out. It's just five teams where a forward is the top player. So that's Chelsea with Costa, you've got Everton, Lukaku, Ibrahimovic at Manchester United, Negredo at Middlesbrough, Defoe at Sunderland. They are probably the only strikers you'd probably want to consider. So with all that choice in midfielders, I think it just makes sense if you're thinking of wildcarding now, refreshing your side, really consider going as a 3-5-2 as your regular formation.
If you want some more tips on your fantasy football team, you can have a look at fantasyfootballscout.co.uk. Well worth following these guys on Twitter as well, at FFScout. And if you play via fantasy.premierleague.com, you'll see the Scout tab up near the top with the information also supplied by these guys. But for this week, Joe, thank you very much.
Thank you.